We move into hour number two. I'm Jim Rome, coming off a great interview, I thought, with Tavondre Sweat. I love the way he did not run me when I made a mistake about him and his fam. He's like, we're trying to figure out if we're even cousins. That was such a great line. All right, welcome to the program. Good morning, good afternoon. Depends on where you are. Your telephone number is toll-free no matter where you are. 1-800-636-8686. So we're right in the middle of madness, but baseball as well. We are joined right now by the vice president and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He is in his fourth season. He played 8 years in the bigs. He was a two-time All-American at Stanford. The Phillies won 90 games in the regular season last year. They made the postseason for the second consecutive season, losing the NLCS after making it to the World Series in 2022. They open up the regular season tomorrow at home against the Atlanta Braves. We are joined right now by Sam Fold. Sam, it is great to have you on the show. Appreciate you doing it, Sam. How you feeling?
Feeling good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you on, Sam. Listen, I know you're hyped to get the season underway, but I want to start with you for a moment. I mentioned that you went to Stanford, where you were a two-time All-American. You were a pretty long way from home growing up in New Hampshire. Not only that, but your father was the dean of College of Liberal Arts and a professor of psychology at the University of New Hampshire at one time. So how did you end up at Stanford?
Yeah, I still sometimes wonder about that. They have to recruit nationally, I think, with their sort of academic standards. And maybe my UCLA and USC buddies would disagree with that, but, you know, they typically look all over the country and now world, I think, for their baseball talent. And somehow, some way, found me up in small town New Hampshire. And, yeah, it was a shock when they showed interest when I was, like, a high school junior. And it was a bit of a pipe dream to go to a school like that, both in terms of the school and the quality of baseball. But, yeah, it didn't take much convincing. Once they showed some interest and I stepped foot on that campus, I was like, I'm in. Sign me up.
Oh, hell yes, definitely. When you step on that campus, you know, and especially given everything they're known for, both academically and in baseball, did you cross paths with my dude Ryan Garko while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Gark was he was a year ahead of me, and, man, he was a beast. He led us to a lot of success. We got to Omaha three different years together. And he's the man. And we work, you know, we're counterparts now with him being in Detroit and running their minor league system. And yeah, Gark's the man. He's taught me a lot over the years.
You know, I love hearing that. Gark is great. I love Gark. One of my favorite guys. And by the way, speaking of Omaha, you put up crazy numbers once you got there. So I appreciate all that. Talking about where you're at right now, what do you make of the work that your team put in spring in Clearwater? How hyped are you to play a game that counts?
We're ready to go. Yeah, it's a long season. You know, it's 31, 32 games. And, you know, it's an important part of the process, getting guys ramped up. You know, evaluating guys, we didn't have a ton of roster decisions to make, but certainly got good looks at the guys that we, you know, were in contention to potentially make our roster. So, and look, the sunshine is great and everything. The beach is great and clear water, but I'll take this, you know, 49 degrees and cloudy day here in Philly, knowing that we're about to chip off tomorrow any day. It's time, you know, it's time to turn the lights on and get going. And guys are hungry to, you know, bounce back a couple fun, exciting playoff runs, but ones that obviously stung a little bit at the end.
No doubt. Sam Fold joining us. What about that, Sam? Like, turning the page is the ultimate baseball cliche, especially after a tough loss and especially after a tough seasonal or a series loss in the postseason. You know, Arizona coming back on you guys, that stings. I understand that. Did you sense when guys showed up for spring training, was there any kind of emotional hangover when the team arrived, or was the end of the last season buried and forgotten?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think it's good to have a little bit of, you know, an edge and, like, feel that bitter taste of losing like we did last year. And, look, we felt the same way a year ago when we came close to getting to the top of the mountain and losing to Houston in the World Series. So I think you can use that to your advantage, and I think our guys do a really good job of that. Like, you have to turn the page, but it's okay to be a little bitter about the way that the season ended last year. And I think guys, you know, use that to fuel them and get them motivated to get to the top of the mountain.
You used the word I was going to use. Why not convert that to fuel? Why not convert that to fuel? Why let that go to waste? That makes plenty of sense to me. Sam Fold joining
totally.
Us. convert it to full fuel. Sam, ultimately, it's going to come down to the players. You know this. I think even your manager, Rob Thompson, who did a great job and is doing a great job, knows that. Let me ask you about Bryce Harper. He missed the first 5 weeks of last season coming off that elbow surgery. Then he had to deal with some back issues that sidelined him for a week in Florida. Is he a full go for tomorrow? What's his outlook for the season?
Yeah, he's ready to go. I mean, he's one of these, you know, freak athletes, freak baseball players, freak talents that can just, that doesn't need 40 or 50 at bats in spring training necessarily to get locked in. And I mean, he's come off of, you know, injuries in the past with us. He's done 2 or 3 game rehab assignments in AAA and been like, at, you know, Babe Ruth after not seeing a live pitch in a month or two. So he's just special. And yeah, while you would have liked to have him be healthy throughout the course of spring training, he's good. He's good physically, and you know, he'll be dialed in once we get going tomorrow.
Hey, Sam, you know how much of the game is played from the shoulders up. When you talk about him being a freak athlete, he certainly is that. Does he have the mindset to match his freakery athletically?
He does. I mean, I think that's in many ways what makes him special. I mean, like, what he can do physically is certainly puts him in rare company, but like the way he goes about his routine and his level of focus, like on a nightly basis, it's not just when the playoffs come around. It's like it's April 3rd with, you know, on a cold rainy night. It's throughout the course of the year where he's just focused, and he cares as much about his at bat, you know, in the ninth inning of a blowout game as he does his first at bat in a really pivotal game later in the year. So he's different. He's different between the years, and he's certainly different physically.
Sam Full joining us. Hey, Sam, help me with this. Like, I'm a proud alumnus of UC Santa Barbara. However, I need somebody who went to Stanford to explain the phenomenon that is Kyle Schwarber to me. How did this dude hit 47 home runs, batting leadoff, while hitting just 197 and striking out 215 times? Like, none of that makes sense to me. How do you explain that?
He's a different hitter, and he'll tell you the same thing. I mean, to have, you know, to hit in the leadoff spot and drive in over 100 runs and to score over 100 runs, like, that says something about you. But look, he's always had an ability to get on base. And there's different ways of doing that. Some years he's hit 250, 260 and gotten on base at a really high clip. But, you know, last year I think he had a career high in walk rate. I mean, it's like really goofy numbers, 17, 18% of the time he's walking. And that allows you to, like, you know, he's a threat to go deep anytime he steps in the box, which I think is, like, really cool to have a leadoff hitter who does that. Like, there's no sort of easing into a game for a starting pitcher. You know, the heat is on from the jump, and he just gets on base in a really unique way. He may strike out more than he'd like, but, you know, with that comes a lot of walks, and so the batting average may not be pretty, but it's a different way of doing it, and it's a great way of doing it.
Right, and the game's changed so much. When you talk about he's a leadoff hitter who's a threat to jump ship every single time he comes up, when you think back on the game and your time in the game, can you compare anybody to that? Who's ever been that much of a threat to hit a home run leading off? I mean, you see, back in the day, babe, way back in the day, Sam, and I'm older, when Ricky Henderson would hit 30 home runs, you'd always think, like, damn, this guy could go deep. He's going to get on no matter what. But who can you remember as a leadoff hitter who was that dangerous for power?
Oof, yeah, it's hard to think about anybody in that category. You know, I'm trying to think of the guys we used to play against when I was in Tampa, and we played against some really good teams between New York, Baltimore, Boston. But those teams had more sort of traditional leadoff guys. I remember Victorino in Boston and Brian Roberts in Baltimore, and I guess Jeter to some extent in New York. So it's just, yeah, not quite the threat to go deep the way that Schwarber does. But like I said, it scares opposing pitchers, and there's no just, all right, here's strike one down the middle to get things kicked off. Like, you got to honor every single pitch from the get.
Sam Full joining us. I get that. So the Braves are in town. You start the season with them. They've won the last 6 straight divisional titles, but you've knocked them out of the postseason each of the last 2 years. So starting with these guys seems pretty apropos. I mean, would you have it any other way? Not that you have a choice, but would you have it any other way?
No, I think this is pretty good. I mean, like, Strider versus Wheeler, I don't know if you can draw it up any better than that. And we've had some good battles. And first couple of years I was in the Phillies organization, I watched them celebrate on the field in front of us to get into the postseason. And, we've had the upper hand when it's all said and done the last couple of years. But, look, they've still won the division pretty handily the last couple of years. So it's a pretty good, healthy rivalry, a lot of back and forth. We want to do what they've done the last couple of years and win the division. But I know that, they'd be hungry to get revenge on us in the postseason. So I love it. This is good. This is a good start for sure.
So before I let you go, speaking of Wheeler, he won 13 games last year, so that's a good guy to hand the ball to. How much better did you sleep at night knowing that you locked up both he and Aaron Nola with extensions this offseason?
Huge. I mean, you can't have enough starting pitching, but when you talk about like that kind of quality, it's massive, certainly lets you sleep a little bit better at night knowing that you can hand the ball to those two guys for the next few years at the very least. They're unbelievable. Like everybody sees what they do between the lines, but I think what gives you confidence in knowing that they're going to be really good for a long time is how much they care and what they do outside the lines, in the weight room, in the training room. They care. They want to be good for a long time. And I think that's what allowed us to have confidence and giving them longer-term deals, and we couldn't be happier.
Hey, Sam, one last thought. This is not your issue, but it is kind of a baseball issue. I'm just curious. That Shohei Ohtani story is so crazy and bizarre. When you first heard it, what was your reaction?
I think a lot like everybody else in the industry, just trying to piece together all the details that were out there, and obviously some of the information has shifted, and it's scary. I mean, we may never know exactly what happened, and I know that there'll be a lot of work put into trying to figure out what happened there. But, yeah, it's a scary thought, and it makes you at least analyze what you're doing as an organization to make sure that players are protected and are aware of what they can and can't do. And I think we all do that. Each team does that appropriately. But, yeah, I feel for everybody involved, and hopefully everybody can move past something like that.
He is the VP and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, year number 4, 8 years in the bigs, and they get underway again tomorrow. Sam, really appreciate you and the conversation, man. Great to have you on the show, Sam. Thanks so much.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you. Hope we can do it again soon. Sam Fold, I like that. VP, GM of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's doing a job now. Philly fan, is this the year you've come so close the last couple of years? Is this the year you get over? All right, so we are open phones the rest of the way. What do you want to talk about? Show's off to a great start. We have a lot of different ways to go with it. Lakers, by the way, with an enormous win last night. Double OT over the Bucks without LeCap. AD had a huge game. Austin Reeves had a huge game. D'Angelo Russell had a huge game. You see, when the Lakers are right, they're right. Hey, and don't look now. Notice how nobody's talking about the Clippers being championship contenders. AD, that's what we expect. AD, if you're going to be the face of the franchise, that's how you have to show up.
AD, what's good, baby?
So we could talk about that. Oh, and Doc Rivers, right on cue. They blow a 19-point fourth quarter lead at home, and the Lakers without LeCap. Sounds like Doc is peaking at just the right time. We'll hit on that too. And Cringerous.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know, Doc. Cringerous, you know where I'm going with this already. You must have an opinion on this already. Do you think that he's just a big troll and leaning into it? Or is this really actually who this guy is? I'm talking about the dude rocking sunglasses indoors in the gym, getting his lift on, and not only doing that, not like somebody captured that, not like somebody snuck in and like, hey, look at this guy. He wants all of you to see it. He's posting it on social. So is he in on the joke, or is the guy really that corny and cringy and oblivious? I'll leave it up to you, but I'll give you my thoughts too. All right. Let's break. Are you a victim of the timeshare trap? Do you think that there's no way out? Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has helped over 35,000 families out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. They might be able to help you as well. If you were misled into signing a timeshare agreement that is a lifetime commitment, if you were told timeshares are this tremendous investment or your maintenance fees will never go up, then you need to get the facts about timeshare cancellation. For over a decade now, Wesley Financial Group has been dedicated to helping folks get out of a lifetime of debt by canceling their timeshares. So they have created a timeshare exit information kit that reveals how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now and they will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free. See how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-761-0000, 800-761-0000. Once again, 800-761-0000.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so I laid out things I want to get to, but you know what I want? You know what'd be great? Some phone calls. Let's do it. You have the number. If not, I'm going to hammer it one more time or a million more times. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Kentucky. In market, on topic. This is slightly out of market, but let's go to Louisville. Shane in Louisville. Shane, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, thanks for taking my call, man. Yes, I'm in Louisville. I am a Kentucky fan, which means I am nuts for this team. I'm surrounded by Louisville fans. Listen, we've been playing basketball at the University of Kentucky 120-some-odd years. We've got 8 titles, 4 of which were won by Adolph Rupp. That was a totally different era. That era, you're never going to see a run like that again. All right, Joe B. Hall got 1. Sutton all the time and got ran. Ricky P. got 1, played in 2. Got 1. Billy G. got drunk a lot, got ran. Then Hal got 1, he's played in 2. So by my math, that's about a title every 15 years or so in the illustrious history of this program. My guy has played in 2 title games and he's won one of them. Yes, the results of the past few years are disappointing. No one is more disappointed than him. All right, this team won 7 of 8 games down the stretch this year. They were the only team to go into Auburn and win at Auburn. They blasted Alabama, put 117 on the board versus that team. We won at Tennessee again. And there's this narrative out there that Cal only cares about the NBA. So I got a newsflash for people. These kids care about getting to the NBA. That's the era we're in. He does a great job. CEO, there's no one out there that can do this better than what he's doing. And the results are going to be there. We need to stick with the guy. And War, Shepherd, and Wagner coming back. I'm not worried. Calipari, he has done so much for this state. And he's a quality human being at the end of the day, too. I'll say that. And if Jody Meeks had came back that first year he's here, he'd have won another one. So that's all I got, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Go Cats.
It's a good job, Shane. Thank you very much. Good job. It's a good phone call. You may not agree with it, but that guy's like, take, 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 take. That's what I'm looking for on this show. Rack him, Alvy. Listen, they were a 3 seed. Now, I know if you're anti-Cal, that makes your argument. Right, Rome, they were a 3 seed. My point in saying that they were a 3 seed is that you're acting like this guy was 8-20. You're acting like this guy was, and I made this argument at the very end of hour one, that he's Matt Doherty, and he took a legacy program, and he ran it straight into the ground. You're acting like this guy's Billy Gillespie. You're acting like this guy's Tubby without Rick's players. He's not these things. If the guy goes 8-20 and 14-16 and doesn't make the tournament, then we have that conversation. I'll even have that conversation if he gets beat by another 14 or 15 next year. But look at what he's bringing in. If the guy didn't care and he was just there ripping a paycheck, that would be one thing. He's got 6 new guys coming in the top 100. 4 of them are 5-star players. All right, he obviously still cares. He obviously is still working. He obviously still wants to win. He appeals to these kids still. I don't care who your coach is. You're not winning without talent. These players want to come to Kentucky still. And you know why? It's not because of Kentucky. Sorry, BBN. It's because of Cal. They want to play for Cal. They see what Cal can do. You know, he's all about the... That guy's right. He's all about the NBA. Right. So are the players. They're all about the NBA. So, when he started to implement that one-and-done thing, and everybody thought that was so crazy, then others emulated it because it worked. Even Coach K, of all people, was doing it. So now Cal's looking at it and thinking, you know what? Maybe we do have to get older. Maybe we don't want to get younger. I'm saying the guy cares enough and the guy's smart enough that I think that he can figure it out. I think he can figure it out, and I know he deserves another shot. And they're not paying the guy $35 million to go away when they still have faith in him. I think the guy is going to get a turnaround. Last three tournaments. 2 seed, 6 seed, 3 seed. We're not talking about a guy who's at the bottom of the conference. Yes, he's got to get it done in March. I get it. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But I'm saying he deserves a chance to turn it around. Give him another shot. Duke, a 2-5 and a 4 the last 3 years. Kentucky, a 2-6 and a 3. And great young talent. 5-star guys still want to go to Kentucky. They still want to play. And they want to play for Cal. Who are you going to replace him with? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Lex Vegas. In market, definitely on topic. Taylor. Taylor, what's going on? How are you?
I'm excellent. Reverend Rome is how I will, I'll just label you that, sir, if I may, because one of the lines that you have chiseled in granite at the First Faith of Rome is the standard is the standard. And Coach Cal has not lived up to it these last few years. So that's where you and I, sir, are in a little separation of opinion. However, who would we replace him with? I don't know. Not that fool that called in a few years ago with his junior varsity resume, and he's like, ridiculous, ridiculous. No. That won't work. And the $35 million payout is actually monthly over 5 years. So therefore, if he were to find a job elsewhere, that would be reduced. But that said, I don't want him out of here. What I want is old Cal back. I want that fiery, I'll call it red-ass fellow who goes out there and is a fighter. He's out of Pittsburgh, you know, with that attitude. We haven't seen that these past few years. And you're right. We've had great, great seedings these last few years in the tournament. However, we've had the early exits. One early exit, okay, it happens. It happened with the Blue Devils. I think Mercer knocked them out 1 year. It happens. But we've had it. The frequency is what is irritating our fan base. And Shane in Louisville, I appreciate you, brother. You're on the front lines there in Louisville. So just, you know, fight on, fight on. And, you know, just how about this, Jim? Suppose you were coming in late for work and you were dropping on the standard a little bit. And maybe it happened once or twice, but then several times, and Alvy's like, dude, now, you're hurting the XFRTI. You got to live up to it, and that's what we want from Cal. So we just had to shake him up a little bit. We ordered the code red. He got the message. He's back.
All right, I hear. Let me react. Taylor, nice job. You covered a lot of ground there, dude. You were all over the map. All right, so you started off by saying, hey, Rome, you're the one who says the standard is the standard. Reverend Rome, you're the one saying the standard is the standard. That I chiseled it in granite. For the record, I did not make that up. That's not a Romeism. That's a very popular phrase, especially in that space. But I believe it. The standard is the standard. I've heard a lot of, I'm also not a reverend, not ordained or otherwise. I'm not one of those guys who shows up to marry you, who's not ordained, who read it in a book or however they do that, signed up online. saw a YouTube clip. I am not a reverend. I don't even play one on the radio. The standard is the standard. And don't forget, the standard is the standard. Standard above feelings. Don't forget about that. It doesn't matter how you feel. The standard is the standard. Here's the point. The standard is the standard. But whose standard? Cal standard? Or Billy Gillespie standard? Because the standard was the NIT before Cal got there. The only reason the standard is the standard and you're throwing that in the so-called reverend's face is because Cal created the standard. And Cal knows. Now, to your point, if you want to say, Rome, I listened to the interview. I heard what he had to say. Basketball is not everything. Family's important. I know what you want him to say. Basketball is everything. Damn it. It's the only thing I care about. Damn it. I know you want to go back a few years and you want that likes to fight guy fire. I'm saying I think that Cal can recapture that. I'm saying he needs to do some soul searching and do the deep work. Do the deep work on himself. Do the deep work on the program. Do the deep work on the system. And figure out why it is that this keeps happening. Because he still has the talent. You can't say it's not because he can't get talent. He still has the talent. They're still coming in. I don't see a bunch of guys decommitting either after what just happened. They would have if he fired him. Then I'll bet you those five stars would have gone someplace else. I'm saying I have the faith in this guy to use this offseason, take a long look in the mirror. He's proud, man. He does not want to go out like this. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got a legacy. He loves that job. Even before the loss, he was hyping up all you fans. They're engaged. They're active. They want it. Bring it to me. Punch me in the face. I'm a man. I'm 59 or 65 or whatever. I'm saying the guy deserves another shot. I'm not saying a lifetime contract. I'm not saying stay as long as you want based on what you did in 2012. I'm saying let him have this offseason to fix it. He's got a boatload of crazy talent coming in. I think the guy is smart enough, motivated enough, and proud enough to do the work on himself, on the program, and get right. And if not, then you... That guy also just said, actually, we're not trying to fire him. We just try to scare him. We want to scare him straight. We want to scare him straight. We want to make a point. We want to send a message. We want to let him know that this is not good enough. He knows. I don't think you need to send him any point. They ordered the code red was great. Hey, Rome, we ordered the code red on him. You didn't need to order a code red or send him a message. He knows. He's the one that brought you back from the depths of where you were. It's tough, man. Tough gig. I mean, I'm shocked that anybody in this day and age could last 15 years with the PBN. I mean, look at it. Look at the reaction that this guy's getting. Look at how many big games he's won and how many NBAers have come through there and all the hate engagement that he's experiencing right now. I've got his back for another year. Absolutely. All right. And again, not because he and I go way back, but because he deserves another year. I'm not saying three. I'm not saying five. I'm saying he's got five stars coming in. They still want to play for him. All right. When we come back, cringerous. Troll or cheese? Where do you come out? Lakers had a night. You know, if I'm going to crack on them as often as I crack on them, I should give them credit when they have a night. And they had a night. Former NBAer Mike Miller is my guest on the Jim Rohn Podcast, episode 307. Normally I go, oh, that's a good one. You know how I know I did it? I haven't done it, but I believe it's going to be a good one. That's coming up after the program. Next hour, Alvy has got a prize pick for you. Don't forget, Alvy. We're on a roll. We're on a streak. We're on fire right now.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Change of plans. No Mike Miller today. He has to travel somewhere, so we'll try and reset that. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. So disregard what I said about episode 307 pushing out after the program today. I'm going to look for him. I want to talk to him. Clones, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered. All come in 4-ounce bags. That way you could sample all the different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Hey, Pittsburgh.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Pittsburgh.
Hey, Seattle.
On behalf of all Denver Bronco and Seattle Seahawks fans worldwide, I'd like to take a moment to say, enjoy the cringe. Enjoy the cringerous, because the cringerous is now all yours, and the corn is already in full force now that he's a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. No joke. After being kicked to the curb by the Broncos after just two seasons, after betting, they bet the entire house on cringerous. And then the team paid him hellified jack to get the hell out of their building. You'd think maybe he would lay low this offseason and simply let his play on the field do his talking for him. You would think that. But if you thought that, you'd be wrong. Because corn, gonna corn. Cringe, gonna cringe. That's the thing about corn. Corn, corns. Listen, there's not a damn thing that you, Mike Tomlin, or anybody else can do about this. The dude is hardwired for it. The dude has corn in his DNA and cringe. And there is no cure for the corn. And it just flares up at the worst possible time. There is no cure for the corn. It's almost like an STD. You can't get rid of it. It's just always there. No cure for the corn. No cure for the cringe. All right, so that's kind of harsh, comparing it to an STD. I'll compare it to the common cold. You don't know when you're going to catch one, but you will. And there's no cure for that either. And by the way, why is there no cure for the common cold? There's so many things worse than a cold. Why can't we cure that? Anyway, there is no cure. All you can do is ride it out. Same thing with cringerous. The corn's coming, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Seriously, Steeler fan, you thought that this was just going to stop the second that he signed with your organization.
Broncos country, let's ride.
You thought that was going to stop
Broncos
because
country,
you're the Steelers. You thought that was different.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Get the Broncos hell out of here with that, Yinzers. Like that was going to stop because he showed up. It didn't stop in Denver. You just heard it. Broncos country, let's ride. So I'll give the guy credit for this. Credit for moving on from a disastrous 2 years in Denver, but no credit for moving on and bringing your baggage with you, your luggage, namely suitcases loaded up with corn. You imagine them going through the TSA and then wanting to look at his baggage and they open it up and there's nothing but corn. I mean, opening up that corn, not only at the airport, but for social media, for everybody to see. Dude's been rocking his new black and gold gear almost every hour since signing with the organization, but he took it to another level last week. This week, in fact. You know, the cringerous level. You got to see this video that he posted as a story on the gram. So he's got a t-shirt of Steeler legends on it. Pretty cool shirt, but also Russ trying really hard. Trying really hard. And going next level, trying to indoctrinate himself into the fam off the field. Off the field, but not on it at first. And again, you want to indoctrinate yourself? You want to get the respect and have your teammates have your back? You got to do more than throw on a t-shirt with some former Steeler greats. But I don't have a huge issue with it. I mean, that's Russ. That's what Russ does. My bigger issue is with dude inside lifting weights with his sunglasses on. Now, who the hell does that? There are a lot of bags in the gym. Gym guy. We've already done gym guy. You know, there are a lot of bags in the gym. However, it's not very often that you see guys wearing sunglasses inside the gym. You don't need sunglasses while you're working out inside. You're not blinded by the light indoors while getting your pump in. The roided up knob at the local gym who walks around with his sunglasses on his hat or hanging from his shirt instead of leaving them in a locker thinks that that's too much cringe. Seriously, why not just throw on some eye black the next time too? You're in the gym, Renegade. That would be about as sweet a look as going with sunglasses while you're getting your lift in. Like, this dude's going to cringe. His ability to cringe is now goat-like. Like, Russ is no longer that first ballot Hall of Famer that many thought that he was a few years ago. But there is no question. His cringe is Mount Rushmore-esque. Now, you know me. I hate Mount Rushmore smack. That is the laziest sports talk radio ever. But I'll allow it here. If there were four heads, four different heads on Cringe Mountain, all four would be his. Unless you want to put Henry Cejudo and three of Russ on there. But don't believe me. Ask Sugar Sean O'Malley, who told me this recently when I asked him about Cejudo.
Yeah, if I see him at the grocery store. I don't like that guy. Short, ugly, stupid, thinks he's the man. He's just so insecure, so egotistical, and just so short that he drives me crazy. Can't handle that, dude.
Sugar, that was in response when I said, because Cejudo is always calling him out. I said, would you ever under any circumstances actually fight this guy? He said, yes, if I saw him at the grocery store. And then he went on that tirade.
Dude, you're 5'3". No one's bowing down to you.
You're 5'3". He's like, he wants everybody to bow down to him. Dude, you're like 5'3". Nobody is bowing down to you. Not to mention that Sugar is very tall for the weight class. He is a star, man. He is so funny, too. Anyway, QB2 Justin. I've already mentioned Cringerous with his sunglasses on in the gym. QB2 Justin, do not come at me with when's the last time you were in the gym actually lifting weights, cardio guy.
There's a lot of great products that they have, depending on what you're doing. I don't know if you work out much, but you know,
you're the...
What
do you mean you don't know if I look at you, dude?
I don't know if
dude,
you do
I'm
that, but...
I'm old enough to be your grandfather. What do you mean you don't
know
if I
look? Yeah, I mean,
you
look good.
Come on, man, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I like the pants.
Dude, I'll tell you what's not a pick me up. You looking at me and going, hey, man, I don't know if you work out or anything.
Hey, I don't know. I mean, you know, you look like more of a cardio guy to me. Not,
you're right, dude.
Not a big weightlifter, but hey.
You're right.
You don't know. You don't know if I work out. You know, I don't know if you're a QB1. It's all right, though, Jay. We're all good. Yes, I'm a cardio guy. However, Justin, I don't wear my sunglasses inside my gym when I'm doing my cardio. Neither should Russet. Now, I'd almost say at this point it's just a big-ass troll. And a lot of people who don't know him think that that's exactly what that is, a big-ass troll. I'm not buying it because I believe in corn, and I believe that corn is going to corn. Corn is undefeated. Father Time is undefeated. Sex is undefeated. Corn is undefeated. Corn is going to corn. And Steeler fan and Renegade Russ have got that market cornered. Just wait for the first away game and Russ gets nice. corny in the aisle of the plane.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But yeah, for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, probably eight hours flight here. That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut-ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock.
That's corn. I mean, it's one thing to do it. It probably is annoying enough to his teammates that he's doing it, but you got to tell us you're doing it. Yeah, I took the first 2 hours and I was watching cut-ups. Then I took the next 5 hours while everybody else was sleeping. And I'm just working the aisle, just doing what I got to do. Greatness, cuz. I mean, seriously, this dude should be a Packer right now with all the cheese that he's carving up. Steeler fan, I'm on record as saying I like the play. I like the investment. I like you bringing this guy in. It's practically for free. But that doesn't mean that it makes the cheese or the cringe any easier to deal with from Renegade Russ. Like, there's already so much of it. He can even put it all on that danger witch of his. Enjoy, Steeler fan. Enjoy. But you tell me, is he now finally in on the joke? Is this just a big-ass troll or a big-ass can of corn? I'm going to go with the latter. Corn gonna corn. Next hour, we get into the big gambling scandal, but not the one you think. Also next hour, Alvy and a prize pick.
Dude.
Let's get it, Alvy. Let's make some money. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We'll be right back.